Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BPCL Q4 FY 2017 post-results conference call hosted by SBICAP Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dayanand Mittal from SBICAP Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mittal.
Yep, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to thank BPCL management team for taking time out from the tight schedule, and also thanks to everyone for joining the call. So today we have with us the following dignitaries from the management team. We have with us Mr. K. Shivakumar, the Director of Finance. We have Mr. R. Rajamani, ED Corporate Treasury. And we have Mr. Ganeshan Jaiwal, our Deputy Manager Pricing and Insurance. So with this, I would like to hand the call over to the management. Sir, please, can take it forward?
Sure.
Good afternoon, one and all. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, and we do not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. I request Mr. Rajamani to give the brief highlights of the financial results.
Good afternoon to all. Before we start the call, just a couple of points I thought I'll just make up front. This year has been a significant change in the sense that we have had to drop the accounts in line with the requirements, which is after complying with the Indian accounting standards, Ind AS as it is called. So that has involved not only drawing up the accounts for the current year in line with the standards, but also recasting some of the numbers of the previous 2 years, basically for the comparison purposes, and 2015 had to be done if we needed the opening balance sheet of last year. That has also meant that some of the numbers of the last year, that is 2015-16, have also undergone a change. It has also led to some changes in the presentation, which we will talk about in detail as we go along in the call, one of which will be, which we gave as a note in our advertisement also, that is relating to the treasury share. That is more of a presentation change that has come about consequent to migrating to the Ind AS standard. The second and more important thing is, this year and in particular the fourth quarter has been a challenge in particularly the retail space. All the three PSUs have seen a decline in the volume year on year, and we will talk about it. BPCL probably was impacted a bit more compared to the other two players, but that has been in particular in the diesel volumes in the retail market. Having said all this, so some of the key numbers for the financial year, and thereafter we take your questions, will be as per the Ind AS standards, the profits that we have reported for the full year is 8039 crores. This compares to the number of around 7,000 in the previous year. 7,400 crores was last year as reported, but based on the Ind AS, it is about 7056 crores. That's one thing. The second thing is, as far as the under-recovery, which today are restricted only to the sale of public distribution system kerosene at 1173 crores, that has been fully compensated. In fact, during the current year, the money has also been received. As regards the inventory gain on the marketing side of the business, it's 1987 crores for the year. The refineries throughput numbers are already with you as part of the handout which Ganeshan would have sent. While the throughput has increased, for the fourth quarter, there has been a slight reduction as far as Mumbai refinery is concerned because it went through a planned and maintenance shutdown, so that was there. IREP, we will talk about in detail, the implementation and commissioning of the various plants are currently underway in Kochi. And as far as the overall sales volumes, the sales, we closed the year with a sales volume in the domestic market of 37.68 million metric tons compared to 36.53 million metric tons in the last year. I will stop here and would like to receive the questions as we go along. And before we do that, I would like to just say, introduce our new Director of Finance, Mr. K. Shivakumar. He has taken over from Mr. P. Balasubramaniam the beginning of May. So he will be joining in the call for the first time. So now we are open to receiving your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Dhaval Doshi from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Mr. Joshi, could you speak a bit louder, please? We can't hear you.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted to know why the debt level has gone up on a sequential basis.
Yeah, the debt level has gone up in particular in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Essentially, more of the short-term debt, which was for two broad reasons. One was that the excise duty for the month of March needs to be deposited by 31st March. This is the normal rules which we do every year. Coupled with that, there was the dividend payout which has also happened. So in the month of March, for the short-term debt, we have borrowed some money which is getting repaid in the current quarter.
So preponement of excise duty,
Excise duty payment, I wouldn't say preponement, as per the rules. I mean, year on year it is the same. This year, coupled with the dividend payout that has also happened, so there was a need for short-term borrowings to go up in the month of March. So essentially the increase has happened primarily on the short-term, coupled with the fact that in the month of February, we have also repaid one of the ECBs which are outstanding. So, and we have drawn about 2,000 crores on the for the funding of the CAPEX project. We have a term loan arrangement with SBI where we draw on the need basis. So, in the month of March, 2,000 crores of that loan was also drawn down to meet the CAPEX.
Okay. And, sir, one more question. I mean, GST impact on BBCL.
So, GST impact, we are just working that out. Just yesterday we closed the account, we are working it out. There are obviously implications. Yesterday in the meeting with the minister, the industry as a whole, both upstream, downstream and the midstream have represented. So we are working it out. However, I would just like to say a couple of things. One is that the GST impact is going to be both largely there will be a negative, but there will also be certain things which we are not getting today that will also come. So we are putting down all the numbers, seeing what will be the total impact. Out of that total impact, there will be something which will be flowing out on the capital account. So to that extent, while there will be a cash impact, the to the extent it pertains to the credit that we were availing of on the capital expenditure today, to the extent it stops, that's going to result in increase in the capex cost to that extent. Having said that, that will all depend on you know, for what the capex is undertaken. So if you are going to have a capex on, say, for example, the petrochemicals project in Kochi, that will not have an impact. So those details are being worked out and we'll get back in terms of what is going to be the major impact. However, at this point in time, we don't have the final numbers. Next few days we will be able to get back with that.
Okay, and sir, you just mentioned about the market share loss as far as BPCL is concerned is more than the other two OMCs.
The growth, growth in the volumes of particularly diesel in the fourth quarter was impacted as compared to the other players. So all in all, the three PSUs, year on year there has been a marginal loss. Ours is slightly higher than HPCL and IOC. So that's what I was meaning. So the impact is primarily driven by the decline which happened in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, understood, sir. But just wanted to know the market share of you know, BPCL in diesel and petrol. Absolute.
That I'll just give me a second, Dhaval. Dhaval, can I get back to you just in a minute? I have to just look at the...
Yeah.
I'll get back to you. Just take the numbers and get back.
Should we move to the next question in the meanwhile?
Yeah, I have the number. I'll give you. So as far as retail petrol is concerned, last year our market share amongst the PSUs was 28.55. This time it is 28.51. And as far as retail is concerned, for diesel, overall market share for April-March for BPCL was 29. And this year it is 28.83.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rohit Ahuja from Relegate Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just taking forward that market share details that you shared, is this market share among PSUs or the entire industry?
It's amongst PSUs, I said that.
So when we work that for the, including the private refiners and the industry as a whole, could there be a significant reduction?
No, if you were to look at the market share of the private players, so the private players today, as of March, you know, as far as petrol is concerned, they are about 5.3%. And as far as diesel is concerned, it is around slightly above 6%. So within this, whatever they have gained year on year, as I said, because we lost our market share amongst PSUs, that's where I said the impact on BPCL is slightly more than compared to the other two PSU players.
So would this trend continue?
Obviously, no. What I was trying to make a point, which I, and that is the reason why I said it up front, is that we have seen this impact in the fourth quarter. The sales team and the retail business is working on this. Obviously, as we have been saying over the past calls also, we'll have to see how competition plays out, and then we will also be taking suitable action. So that activity on the ground is happening. So we expect to take care of this issue as we go along.
Right. So secondly, on Kochi expansion, could you throw some light on where are we right now and when can we...
So, Mr. Shivakumar will just give you the response.
As far as IREP expansion is concerned, the major units have been commissioned, and only a couple of units will get commissioned by July. Petro FCC in particular will get commissioned somewhere in July.
So
the delayed coker is also in the process of commissioning. That's what Mr. Shivakumar mentioned, two units. The delayed coker is also delayed coker as well as the FCCU are in the process of being commissioned, and they should get over by July or so.
So in the second quarter of FY18, we'll see the impact on GRMs?
So if you recall what we said in the previous call, we expect all the units to get commissioned, and you know, the second quarter of the current financial year, we should see the stabilization of all the units happening. So we expect in the second half of the year, the you know, the benefits to start flowing in from the IREP project.
Right, and
so the other units have already started functioning, but obviously in an expansion like this, you know, it's not about only the base units, it's also important that the secondary units are up and running. So that's where we said that once all the units are commissioned and stabilized, we should see the effects starting to flow in the later part of this year.
And could this also mean your market share among PSUs could start improving in second or third quarter onwards as you push forward?
We are talking about the refinery and the production that from in-house sources. So that's one part of it. The other part obviously is the marketing. So that's that is something where we are working upon. It's the IREP will mean that product availability in Kochi will be increased, but marketing, our efforts are towards dealing with the situation, not only in Kochi but across all the major markets where we are seeing this private competition being played out now.
Right. So lastly, on the marketing side, the competition from private refiners, we've seen some private refiner offering a straight 1 rupee discount on diesel sales. How is it right now? Are this kind of discounts still continue? And secondly, the card discount of 0.75% on cashless transition, does that still continue in the current fiscal?
So, as we have been saying in the calls, once the competition starts in the full sense, we should be seeing a lot of things happening on the ground, and now it is what you spoke about, a discount and all that is one of the dimensions of how the competition is playing out. So that is something which we will also respond. I mean, it may not be a like-to-like, but it will be obviously be a focused response depending on the requirements of each individual market. As far as the incentive that is being given on the digital mode of payment, that is continuing even now by the PSU companies. Having said that, the percentage volume in terms of the cashless transactions,
yeah,
not significantly increased. It's been around that 20-22% levels.
Right.
But yes, we are giving that discount for the digital mode of payment. So that's one thing. So the other thing, as I said, you spoke about discount, and if there are other ways in which the competition play out, we will also take appropriate action. That will vary from market to market.
So lastly, on anything on the integration, PSU integration proposal, either with ONGC or Oil India, or any kind of updates on that, and when can we finally hear on that?
That's for the government to sort of take a view. They are, I guess, over the next few months, they will come with some concrete proposals. Till then, we don't have anything to add on that.
So anything expected in FY18, or it could go beyond that?
I mean, this is something for the government to decide. Difficult for us to make any, judgment calls on that.
Okay. Thanks for this, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Bhavin Gandhi of BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, can you share the performance of Bina, both GRMs and PAT, and NRL GRMs and PAT for the quarter and the year?
Yeah, just a minute. So first, as regards BURL, the GRM for the quarter, January-March, it's $12.5 for the quarter. And for the full year, it is $11.80 to the barrel. The crude, the total crude processing for the year is about 6.36 million metric tons. 1.68 is the last quarter number. As far as NRL is concerned, with the for the full year, with that excise duty benefit, the margin should be around somewhere around 23-24 dollars. That is the with the excise duty benefit, and without that, it should be around somewhere around $9 per barrel.
Right.
And throughput for them, being dependent on the crude from Assam, for the year they ended with 2.68 million metric tons against the installed capacity of 3 million tons.
Right. And sir, can you also share the PAT numbers for both the companies?
Yeah. Profit after tax for BORL was 808 crores for the year. And NRL was profit after tax was 2,100.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. So just going back to the marketing segment, the diesel and petrol sales volume in terms of the overall product sales is roughly 65% for the company based on the data we have for FY16. Would it be a similar proportion of essentially the gross margins on the marketing segment, or would it be higher than 65 or lower than 65?
I mean, it need not be, it need not show the same trend as the volumes. That will be, as we have kept saying, the other than petrol, diesel, the all other products, if you exclude LPG, are all competitive. The contracts gets renewed on an ongoing basis. Changes happen. Aviation, for example, the contracts change every 1 year, but there is an option to continue for another year. There are various combinations. So to say that based on the volumes, the margins also will be reflecting the same percentage distribution, I don't think can be a right statement to make.
Sure. Secondly, sir, if you look at the sales volume for the quarter, there was a sharp jump on a year-on-year basis on the export volume from 0.54 to 0.81. So what drove it and how should we look at this going forward?
No. The export typically from the PSUs in general and BPCL in particular are broadly the products for which we are not able to sell it in the market, whether it is say naphtha or furnace oil, which don't have a market, then we export. It's more of taking it out of the refinery. So exports to a large extent represents only that. So in this case, as we said, IREP, all the secondary units are getting commissioned. So to that extent, there will be some increase in products which, given the downstream facilities, would have been treated and would have been available. So if to the extent that is not possible, products, some of them will get exported. And also because of the migration from Euro 3 to Euro 4, there would be some small quantity of diesel which didn't meet the Euro 4 specification and which couldn't be processed, was exported. So these are typically naphtha furnace oil. This time there is a little bit of diesel also that was exported.
So this should be, sir, a trend which we should see for the next year as well?
No, that's where I said. It's, for example, in the case of Kochi, once IREP is fully stabilized and running, there will be no FO production. Furnace oil production is complete. The refinery will no longer be producing furnace oil. Naphtha, of course, will be there. Naphtha, depending on the demand locally, to the extent it's not consumed here and it's not required, then we export. So going forward, once IREP is fully commissioned, the exports, particularly of furnace oil, will actually reduce because one refinery will stop producing that. What will be left will be only what is produced in Mumbai, because Mumbai will continue to produce furnace oil. So I don't think the same trend of exports will be there in the next year also.
Sure, sir. And lastly, sir, what would have been the Kochi expansion impact on GRM/cost for this quarter? I mean, I assume the cost would have been higher or the GRMs would have been lower. So, sir, can we quantify it?
No, the difficult to quantify particularly the GRM because, see, what happens is that when a refinery is in the process of commissioning the units, and this is a running refinery, so since, as I said, the secondary units and all availability is restricted, given that those units are in the process of either being stabilized or commissioned. So to that extent, the secondary processing not being available, we would be required to process a relatively higher level of, say, light crude compared to what we would have done otherwise if the secondary units were there. So to that extent, to produce the same quantity, we would be using the higher priced crude, and to that extent, there will be an impact on the GRM because the output slate is not what it could have been. So to that extent, GRM will be suppressed to some extent till the stabilization is on, which is what we have been saying in the last couple of calls also. As far as the operating cost is concerned, there will be an impact, but that impact will get reflected as we go along once the units like coker and all that is fully commissioning and operating. Because today we don't have a coker. Once the coker becomes operational, the cost for operating the coker itself will be an additional cost. So to that extent, that increase in cost will come in a significant manner. We estimate that coker, once it is operational, will add about just under $0.50 per barrel to the cost. But that will come once it is fully. The coker is in the process of being commissioned now. The actual commissioning should happen in the next few days.
And once the coker comes in, we have additional cost, but we have a GRM uplift also because of the upgrade of the product fleet.
Absolutely, absolutely. So okay. Coker and FCCU, once they are there, so that is where the uplift will come.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mayur Patel of DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have a couple of questions. So first on this GST, is it fair to see that currently there are a lot of entry tax, octroi, and there are many, tax on the input side? Will there be any change in that, or some of that which you're already claiming in the state-specific surcharge?
What we were speaking about till now was the credit which was available on the inputs and input services today which we use, or for that matter the capital expenditure that is incurred on which excise duty component is there, that was being allowed to be set off against the excise duty liability or the service
tax. That I understood, sir.
So, no, I'm just, having said that, what you are referring to, you correct me if my understanding is wrong, you are talking about octroi and or for that matter the CST, which are all standard costs on the crude and the inputs that we use for processing. If my understanding is correct, you are referring to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that currently is covered under the state surcharge specific or the state surcharge scheme. Yeah. Now, as we understand, GST will subsume this octroi. So we'll have to just see finally how that comes about, and if octroi is no longer going to be there, or for that matter in some other places entry tax, these taxes are supposed to be subsumed under GST. So if it is not going to be there, then the recovery question does not arise. But we will have to just wait and see how that will play out.
So this is what I think would be one of the positive parts which you mentioned, that there would be some positives and there could be more negatives, but these things will go off and subsumed under GST.
This will be one of them. Secondly, today what happens is whatever is done for, say, domestic LPG, because there is no duty on that, you don't get the credit also on the input services which are used exclusively for LPG in the refinery. So, I mean, now that LPG is under GST, we will be able to set it up. So that's where I said, you know, we need to just look at all these numbers put together and just work out how much would be the impact.
Okay, okay. So next question is on, you said by July, most of the secondary units and everything would be up and running in Kochi.
Mm.
So for second half, what is the blended utilization should we assume for the Kochi plant?
No, so some of the units like the primary crude unit is already running. In fact, if you see this year's throughput, in fact it's higher than last year, primarily because the some of the units of the IRP is also contributing to the production. So what is now left is the delayed coker and the FCCU. Once that happens, the product slate can be further improved upon. So all in all, if all the units are commissioned, stabilized, then second half should see the utilization of the all the units. So we think that for this year, we should be seeing some over and above that 9.5, which is a base capacity. We should be seeing about close to 50% for this year. Then for next year will be the full year, because we are talking about the second half being the main when all the units are running. So about 50% of the IREP project's overall capacity should be seen this year.
50% of the new incremental capacity, you are saying?
Yes.
For the full year blended?
It should be somewhere around that level, 50%.
And sir, that $2 GRM contribution, that continues to be the expectation?
That is the expectation, but as I said, no, once all the second, because that will come about once all the secondary units...
I am saying not immediately, after say 6 months when everything is up and running.
Secondly, how does the incremental margin come about? It comes about basically being because the refinery is able to process higher, heavier crude and all that. So that for it to reach to its most optimal level, it will take some time. So the $2 thing is something which is there. Maybe we'll see some part of it in the later part of this year. The full impact should start flowing in from the next.
Okay. And sir, next question is on the daily pricing. What is the current, update on that?
So we are doing it in 5 cities, and we are still in the process. I mean, this is more like a pilot. just to see how the whole process works, and so that is something which is going on. I think going forward, maybe we'll add a few more cities to see how it happens, because this is a completely shift, not in the way prices are computed, but rather in the way it is operationalized, because every day price change as a process, it goes and updates in the retail outlet. So that's working well in the 5 cities. Maybe as a next step, we'll add a few more cities before we ultimately we reach a stage where we are in a position to do it across the country.
Sure, sir. So is it fair to say, sir, on this volume, like you mentioned that because of the shutdown, does it also impact your, you know, marketing strategy, and some part of the marketing volumes can be attributed to the shutdown in Bombay?
No, I wouldn't like to do that, because shutdowns, these are not unplanned shutdowns. These are scheduled shutdowns. So the logistics and supply team will factor all this, make available that. So I wouldn't like to attribute something like that, because the shutdown in Mumbai refinery was a planned maintenance shutdown.
Sure, sir. And so last thing, this Euro transition is behind us.
Mm.
So going forward, you know, some part of the, you have explained it in detail in the past.
Mm.
Those factors would be behind us in terms of the impact on earnings going forward?
Yeah, now we are selling entirely across the country Euro 4 grade. So that's not an issue. The next now migration is in 2020 when we move to Euro 6.
So just last one bookkeeping question. In your results, you have mentioned that the treasury shares are netted off, so which clearly we can see in the standalone EPS calculation of 8039 crores of PAT. But when we look at the consolidated PAT of 9,500 crores, if you divide that by 131.1 crore shares, which is after netting off of you know, the treasury shares, the number comes to 72 rupees per share, whereas the number which is punched in the results is 66 point something. So is there, I'm getting anything wrong here?
I would just need to look at it. I've called the concerned person to come along. I don't think there should be anything. There will be some other reason. The standalone, once you have worked out correctly, I see no reason why the consolidated should be any different. But I would like to just check. So I will.
I'll take it off.
And come back after some time also in the question. We will get this worked out and be ready for that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aishwarya Agarwal from Reliance Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Both IOC and HPCL has guided for somewhere around 3,000 crores and 700 crores of under-recovery on account of GST. So assuming BPCL number will be slightly higher than HPCL, should be okay assumption?
The assumption is okay. We are also going on the same this one. But I said we are just fine-tuning the whole number. And at this point in time, that's the estimate which the other two companies are also talking about. We would like to just fine-tune our assumptions. And also, as I said, on the capital projects and all, we would like to see, because a large part of our capex has also been incurred. So we would like to be very clear in terms of what is the impact before we talk about exact numbers. And that's the reason why I held back from talking about specifics. But if you want to use a ballpark number, yes, that's available. That's the reference, good reference point.
Sure. Next, sir, what kind of every quarterly run rate increase should be looked at for a wage hike?
Sorry?
For wage hike.
So we have in this results indicated an increase in the manpower cost, a provision for manpower cost of about 600 crores, out of which around 480 or 490 crores is purely a one-time this one because of the gratuity limits that is likely to go up from 10 to 20 lakhs. The balance 110 odd crores is the impact on the manpower cost. Now, this is a provisional number but this will be a good directional number to start with, and once the final recommendations come, that will get fine-tuned to arrive at the final number.
And sir, are there any discussions with the government so that Are there any discussions with the government so that we can recover, we can improve our marketing margin to recover whatever we will be losing in GST?
Ultimately, petrol, diesel, they are all deregulated. LPG and kerosene are, so we are now in a deregulated market. So that's something which we will take a commercial call as we go along.
But any discussions so far between you people to do this thing in this manner?
So yes, the discussion yesterday was in terms of presenting what is the impact of GST. We are not talking to the government at this stage of any pricing and all that, which we even otherwise don't do for regular revisions. We will see as we come along. Yesterday was more of trying to represent in terms of what is going to be the impact of GST on the different segments of the industry.
And sir, just what is the net debt for Bina at this point of time?
Net debt. Aishwarya, can I don't have it readily, but I'll give you offline in, later. I mean, sometime later, because I'll have to get it from them. What they have given me doesn't include the debt portion. But I can tell you one thing: their debt has not significantly changed. In fact, during the quarter, we have infused 1,000 crores into Bina, so I don't think it would have changed. In fact, it might have gone down slightly.
But sir, see, we are making profit from Bina Refinery now. So I have noted some 8 billion rupees of profit from Bina. So the net debt will reduce definitely, if not gross.
I'm talking about Bina standalone only.
Yeah.
Saying that we have infused 1,000 crores during this quarter into BORL. So now, so that is what I was meaning. I didn't mean, talk about the their profit which they are making even otherwise. All that I'm saying is that we have infused money. Depending on how that has impacted, we'll have to just see the net debt level. I would expect that compared to December, the net debt level would have reduced this time. But let me just check the numbers and I'll give you the exact number, maybe offline today evening.
But why you are infusing money now? Because now the company is...
Bina is under expansion from 6 million to 7.8 million tons, which is expected to be completed by next year. It's a 3,000 crore project. That's the reason why we...
Sure. And sir, one last thing, how we should see the capex for 18 and 19?
So, major part of the capex in respect of IREP is already done. So this year, we would expect the capex to be somewhere around, 7,500 to 8,000 crores. And next year, on the steady state, it will be maybe slightly lower, but we are looking at a couple of projects. We will see once that is there, we will have for 18-19 the number. But otherwise, as of now, more or less around 8,000-9,000 levels as of now, unless we add any other project.
And this includes the Mozambique and Brazil?
No, it doesn't. We always qualify our capex by saying that Mozambique and Brazil, we will include it as and when the FID happens.
So anything planned for these two assets, sir, in terms of capex?
In the capex side, as of now, there is nothing. Mozambique, they're working towards that FID as and when it happens, maybe towards the end of the year or early next year. After that, we will see. Brazil, if at all anything will happen, it should be happening in the second half of next year, not before that.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Bansal from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions. One, I think you gave some market share numbers for private sector earlier in the call. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, it's about 5% in the case of petrol and around 6% in the case of diesel. That's what I said.
And that's average for the year, I would presume.
As of 31st March.
For the year, please.
31st March.
Yeah, that's end of the year, you're saying?
Yeah, as of 31st March of this year is what I said.
Okay. And what was the same number, say, last year, same time?
In the case of diesel, the last year the number was 3%, 3.1% to be exact, and petrol was around 3.5%. This is as of 31st March 2016.
Okay. And, you know, even though it's only for a quarter, still a 9% volume decline in diesel looks pretty alarming. Any specific reasons you attribute this for specific to your company and for PSU as a whole for the volumes losing out?
No, see, for the quarter, yes, that's why I wanted to make that upfront. We PSUs as a whole, we lost market share in diesel during that, particularly the fourth quarter. In fact, the previous 2 months, November, December, had seen a run-up. In the month, in the Jan, Feb, March period, yes, there has been a decline year on year or quarter on quarter in terms of the volumes. All the three PSUs had lost, I wouldn't like to venture any guess in terms of why, but we do understand that there were a lot of, action from the private sector front. So probably that would have contributed in terms of the... But yes, there has been a sharp negative as far as retail diesel is concerned for all the three players. Ours was, compared to all the other two, more than the other two. That's the point which I wanted to make right at the beginning of the call.
So what steps are you taking to sort of get back the market share that you have lost, or at least to prevent any further declines?
It will see what steps to be taken. We will also be responding appropriately. Different steps will be there in different markets. I mean, it's not about saying that this is what we are doing or what we plan to do. The marketing team is now dealing with that. Yes, there was an impact. They have been responding appropriately in different markets, in a different, whatever way. I mean, I would not be in a position to comment in terms of what exactly they are doing, but they are responding to the situation in the market. This is something which we said right, at the time of deregulation. We said we will see how the competition plays out, and then we will take our appropriate response, and that will vary from market to market.
Right, sir, but it's been 2 years for deregulation now, and you've seen...
But the action on the ground in terms of the private players started very aggressively in the last 3 to 6 months.
Okay, and if I may just press it more, when would you be in a position to communicate your strategy or what you plan to do to gain or at least hold on to your market share?
I appreciate the question, but if you recall, sometime back we had a call, or in fact the analyst meet, just to share our non-fuel retail strategy. So that's now getting rolled out in a way. We were on the pilot stage in the last 3-4 months. Now those results are there. We had planned for strategies in 4 segments, and all the 4 segments, now the rollout is happening on the ground. Obviously, different markets are seeing different initiatives being rolled out. I mean, one was to the rural segment, the other one was for the urban customer, for the the third one was the fleet owners initiative that we spoke about, and we also spoke about for the personal personal road travelers. So all these initiatives are primarily meant to hold on and to our market share in a increasingly competitive market. But this was part of the overall strategy and is also a part of the strategy going forward from even now. What I meant was, over the last 3 months, if there have been any action on the ground in terms of, somebody did speak about a 1 rupee discount. Now, these are all basically boiling down to actions happening by way of price discounting. I said that we will also suitably respond, and that is something which the retail market team will do. What will be the response and what will be the quantum and all those things is for them to decide. These are that coupled with our retail fuel initiatives, we feel that we will be in a position to safeguard our market share.
Okay, a couple more questions. One on this daily fuel pricing. I understand you said something about that. Any timelines you have in your own mind when you can roll out Pan India?
We did this 5 cities daily pricing in this month, May we have started. And obviously, this is something which we wanted to see how it sort of plays out, because every day we are revising the price, and that process is, there is a process involved, right? It's not only about the price computation, but about doing it in the system, and from there, the data flowing into the market. So that's happening. So that's where I said probably in the in a short time we may look at, you know, increasing the number of cities from the current level of 5 before we gradually take it on an all-India basis. I think that will happen over the next few months depending on how the, you know, pilot, these 5 cities, it's worked well. So I would imagine that it should happen over the next few months, at least if not all India, in larger segments of the market.
So at least within this year, we can roll out in the large segment of the market.
Be in a position, yes.
Okay, and we had this dynamic pricing we were doing last year. There's some pilot going on that. What is the status there?
Yeah, dynamic pricing is something which has been going on for some time. Obviously, that will be also influenced by what happens on from the competitors. So that is something which is going on, and we started off like any pilot program, and then we have extended. But that is something which keeps changing, and that is in terms of the number of number of stations where this dynamic pricing is done, because on what happens to the volumes and those things. It's going on, and also based on the happening on the ground, they continuously revise it and change it. So I would say that the dynamic pricing, other than, you know, the revisions which keep happening, in terms of the coverage, it's now at the same level as we were last year.
Sorry, I don't have that number. What is the coverage number now, if you can just tell that?
No, I don't have that. What I'm saying is this was started off as a pilot and gradually extended. Being micro market pricing, it cannot be there in all the outlets. It is something which is selected and decided upon at the local level by each of the what we call as the sales territories. And they keep changing it. So today it may be in 10, tomorrow it may be more or it could be less. So that is something which is, they are locally empowered to do that, and that will be in response to what happens in the market. So to give a number in terms of how many numbers that we are having this dynamic pricing, it's not in all the gas stations, but in a large number of outlets where we have rolled out, we have corrected based on what happens in the market. So it's going on. So I would say that about around 40-50% of the outlets may be seeing dynamic pricing in one form or the other.
Okay. And lastly, on the Bina, you said GRM was 11.8. What was the inventory gain built in this number?
We always report the GRM, which includes the inventory gain or loss in the refinery.
All right, sir. Fine. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is Prabal Sen of IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Good afternoon. I had a question. I mean, you've spoken about the market share and the kind of volume decline that the industry has seen in Q4. I just wanted to get your sense of what have the trends been for April and May in terms of industry volume growth, and plus what kind of market share have we seen. Is it possible to share that?
It would be possible, but I don't have that April now. I mean, May, though, definitely I don't have. But April should be there, but readily I don't have it. But I can see, and maybe we can talk about it separately. May I don't have. May is too early for me to get
there. No problem, sir. The other question I had was, sir, that with regard to the Kochi expansion, you did mention that H2 is when we can actually see it running at full tilt post-expansion. So any sense we can get on the distillate yield we are expecting for Kochi for FY18, including the expanded capacity?
So I would like to, we say only once all the units are stabilized, then maybe that's the time to really say that this is the distillate yield, because these units are, it'll take some time to stabilize, which is what we are waiting for the second quarter to sort of play out, and you know, the units are operating fully the way they are supposed to and are stabilized, then we should be in a position to talk about the distillate yield. The only thing which I would like to say, once it is in full tilt and stabilized operation, primarily the transportation fuels like petrol, diesel and ATF will go up. LPG will also significantly increase, but there will be a fall in the, furnace oil will no longer be there, and a couple of other products like naphtha, bitumen will also be reduced.
And sir, any idea you can give us in terms of the, I mean, once the 15.5 million ton is fully in place, what kind of FNL should we be building in? What kind of fuel and loss we should be building in for the complex refinery?
It will be slightly higher than the current level, given
right.
the complexity. See, whatever we have... let me just...
Sure.
So it should be somewhere in that range of 6.3 levels. This year also, they had about 6 as the fuel and loss. But once all the units are running, so somewhere around 6.3, those levels should be something which should be the fuel and loss percentage.
So somewhere around 6.3%.
Yeah, 6 is there today
right.
as of as we speak. March, for the year ended 16-17, it was 6. So it should see an increase once all the units are running.
Right. And just to confirm, sir, what you said about the capacity utilization, the way we should be looking at it is 9.5 broadly for the full year, plus 50% of 6 million tons. So in effect, 3 million tons coming through from the expanded capacity.
No, it will be slightly higher, but I would like to, just wait once it is. So it should be...
Got it. I mean there or thereabouts, that's the...
Yeah, it should be...
number from
50 plus percentage.
Okay. So 12.5 to 13 million ton, that kind of range for FI.
Actually, maybe slightly even higher also, but yeah, let me hold my listen to that.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. That is all from my side. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde of ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just wanted to ask a
Mr. Ginde, could you speak a bit louder? We can't hear you, sir.
Can you hear me now?
A little better. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thanks. The question I wanted to ask is that it appears, especially in Q4 and to some extent in the full year, that your marketing EBITDA is down quite significantly on a YY basis. So one probable contribution to that has come from diesel volumes going down.
Mm.
But does it also mean that you responded to the 1 rupee discount by offering some discounts in some areas?
Vidyadhar, as I said, based on the competition, at the local level, they are responding. So I wouldn't like to say anything on what form of the response it has been. Frankly, I don't know. I can check that out. The second thing which would contribute to the EBITDA, this one is that the state surcharge which we were recovering, which is there for the full year impact last year for the arrears of OCTRA, is no longer there this year. That will make a significant impact. But on the marketing, what is the form of response, I wouldn't like to comment at this point in time.
Because I think the fall is very big, even if you adjust for that, because I think that amount which you are recovering
mm-hmm.
was around 700-800 crores in a full year.
Yeah, about 800
so quarterly,
plus.
Yeah, quarterly it was around 200 crores. I think even if I adjust for the employee cost, the fall, especially in the fourth quarter, seems to be very, very big.
Then I would like to, fourth quarter, yes, because all the major provisions like the employee cost and all were made.
So I'm adjusting even for the employee cost.
If you are talking about separately for marketing EBITDA, we can just look
just
at it and then maybe we can have a discussion separately.
Because what I'm doing is reducing from the total EBITDA, the refining EBITDA, assuming about $1.5-$1.6 as OPEX,
yeah.
and the inventory gain. I remove that and you do it for both years. Last year you add back the inventory loss. And the fall is steep, even if I add back the 600 crores of employee cost. And assuming all of that is marketing, which I'm sure is not. Some of it is related to refining.
No, Vidyadhar, we can see, we will see for the full year because quarter on quarter, I don't think it will be fully reflective. But let me just see for the full year and then if there is anything else which is which we are missing out and we are not able to explain, we will take that separately.
My observation only is that I think in the first 9 months, maybe the surcharge recovery probably explains a lot of the fall. But in Q4, even that would not explain.
Okay. So, whatever this provisions of 600 crores and anything else which will explain, let me see, I'll get back to you on this.
Thanks a lot. And just when we have Numaligarh and BORL's profits for the last year?
Yes.
FY16.
Yeah, so 15-16, the profit after tax of BORL was 375 crores. And profit after tax of Numaligarh was 1182 crores.
And one last question. So this surcharge recovery which you were doing, that's stopped in May 16, is it, or somewhat earlier?
In the early part of May. I mean, we didn't have to wait till May end, which was the scheduled date. So once the amount was recovered, we stopped it.
So it was for the whole of FY16?
It was there for the whole of last year, yes. We stopped it in the early part of May of this financial year, 16-17.
The amount around 7-800 crores, what could you give some idea on the number?
Which one?
The surcharge recovery last year.
Last year should be around full year, let me see, it will be roughly around, 800 was a ballpark, so maybe it will be somewhere between 800 to 900 crores.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Rustagi from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, could you, I think you have mentioned this point, but could you just touch upon what will be the impact on octroi post GST comes in?
I'll have to wait and see. No, octroi is supposed to be subsumed in GST. So we'll have to just see whether that means octroi is no longer there or there is any other change, which I do not know at this point in time.
So there is no notification or anything from the state government?
Nothing yet.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that you made a presentation yesterday about the GST impact in ministry.
I mean, the industry made. I was not there. We had a board meeting in Bombay, so I couldn't go.
Yeah, but this means that a substantial part of the work on impact on the company, like most of the companies have been able to share that what could be the impact of GST on their P&L and on the CapEx program. So if you can highlight some of those numbers, that will be
great. Amit, I mentioned that we are working on that, but somebody referred to the numbers which were expressed by HPC and So we are also saying that ballpark numbers, even we have arrived at somewhere around that level of 800 to 900 crores. But
the P&L.
That is what I was saying. This is, see, we need to just work out how much of it will be a P&L impact if it is to the extent of the capital. Obviously, it's not a straight P&L. It's going to change the capital cost and therefore the depreciation. So we are fine-tuning that part of it so that we are in a position to, now that the new GST rates have also come in, need to just factor those, because whatever is based on the previous year's numbers takes into account the service tax and all at that old rate. So we are just fine-tuning that. Secondly, we are just seeing whether there is any other, it's one is about the impact on the P&L. The other one will be wherever something which we were not getting, because say, like as I said about any LPG-related capex and all those things. Also, we are seeing, because that will be a credit, because now LPG is under GST, so I will be able to set up. So we are just fine-tuning that. If you are looking at a ballpark number, around that 700 to 800 crores should be something where we will also reach. But we are just seeing whether there will be any significant credits also that we will take into account. After that, we will just see how much will be the capex related and the revenue, because the capex related, as I said, doesn't come to the P&L. Said that with IREP and all which was going on, now that will not be there as we for the future projects. So all those adjustments I'll need to do, and then see what is the impact. So since major portion of IREP is completed, while I do admit that there will be projects going on in the refinery which predominantly is for petrol, diesel, ATF, which are outside the purview of GST. But the fact that IREP and major units, the capex is already done, those benefits is already taken under the current regime, under the tax regime. So we are just fine-tuning it. But yes, 750-800 crores should be a good benchmark to start with.
Okay. And sir, just second question relates to the gas consumption. So we have now Kochi refinery likely to fully commission from H2 onwards. So what will be our gas consumption in that refinery at the current prices, looking at the current pricing situation? Because
Kochi refinery, currently it's about 1.8 to 1.9 MMSCMD. Once all the units are commissioned and stabilized, could even go up to say around 2.4 to 2.6 MMSCMD, but that will take some time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. So, sir, can we get a breakup of GRM in terms of Mumbai GRM and Kochi GRM?
Yeah, Nitin. The Kochi, for the year, Mumbai refinery was $5.36 per barrel.
Right.
And Kochi was 5.16. Blended is 5.26.
Sorry, 5.16, right?
For Kochi.
For Kochi. And sir, for the quarter?
For the quarter, it is Mumbai refinery 6.74.
Kochi 5.39.
5.39, Kochi blended 6.01.
5.39. So, and sir, my second question is related to a breakup of capex, if that's available in terms of your segment-wise capex.
Actual capex you're talking about?
Yes, a full year capex that you guided for FYs 18 and 19. So if we can have a breakup in terms of what you're going to spend in refining and what in marketing. And
oh, sir, you are talking about the projected capex.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as refineries are concerned, the capex should be somewhere around 2,300 crores. And the marketing. Yeah, I mean, this is the regular. There will be some maintenance capex also which will need to be added.
Right.
Otherwise, for the major projects, including this one, is 2,300 crores. This will include, obviously, the Petchem initiative also, because that capex has started.
Uh-huh.
Some residual payments of IREP. So about 2,300 crores will be the capex in the refineries.
Right.
Marketing should be somewhere around another, 900 to 1,000 crores. And there will be... some of the investments in the joint ventures, not significant, but they will also be there. As far as the upstream is concerned, we estimate at around 1,500 crores for the year. Of course, without including Mozambique, Brazil, and all those things. And apart from all these three broad categories, across refineries and marketing, the maintenance capex and all that should be around 2,700 to 2,800 crores. All in all, we expect the capex for the coming year to be somewhere around 7,500 to 8,000 crores.
Right, sir. So, sir, next related question is that are we undertaking any capex in Mumbai refinery which can improve the refinery margin over there? Because, of course, Kochi, when full commissioning has happened, then the margins are going to go by $2 per barrel. That's what we had discussed. So are we undertaking any project in FY 18 and 19 which is going to improve our refinery margin in Mumbai as well?
So, Nitin, as we have been talking about, in Mumbai, one of the major constraints is the space constraint. So we are just trying to figure out some mechanisms to address that. Then once we are able to address the space constraint, then we should be, so we are working towards it. Hopefully we should be having some plans ready in the next couple of months. Then we will plan the capex for Mumbai. Because Mumbai, unless the space is addressed, what we are essentially trying to do is to see whether we can shift some of the tankages and release the space for using in any such value-added projects.
Right, sir. And so lastly, sir, this is again, a gentleman raised this question about marketing margins. So I just wanted to take it forward a little bit. So given that we just discussed that we could be taking up strategies as and when required to counter the competition in the market, one is that. And second, there could be some impact due to GST in terms of what we can recover and what we cannot recover in terms of input taxes. So is it a fair assumption that going forward there is a higher likelihood of marketing margins being weaker from here on a overall blended basis than being on a level keels, so to say? So what's your guidance in regards to that?
See, the point is that what you spoke about several factors, including the standard taxes once the GST comes in. So that's one bit of it as far as the cost is concerned. The other part of the equation is the marketing margin. So that is something which, as we have been saying consistently, it's something where there is scope for increase, but the increase will depend on how the scenario plays out in the market. As one gentleman said sometime right at the beginning of the call, that there were discounts of 1 rupee and all those things. Under that circumstances, yes, it will be difficult to increase margins because then you are giving more leeway to the other players. So it's a function of the market. To the extent marketing margins increase and all goes or any downward, it's a function of how the market plays out. But we are looking at how to deal with the competition and also at the same time see how the marketing margins can be enhanced. I mean, measures like micro market pricing and all are aimed towards that.
Right. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rakesh Sethia of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, could you give us an update on where does the Kochi petrochemical project stand as of now? And is there any change on the timelines and what should we expect from that project in the coming months?
Yeah, the Kochi project for the petrochemicals initiative is already on, as we said, and that is going on. The current year, we expect to spend another 700-800 crores on that project. So we are aiming at the completion of the project sometime toward the end of 2018. There is no change in that at this point in time.
So one more follow-up on the refining capacity side. Now Kochi is largely done.
Mm-hmm.
Mumbai, we are looking for space. But when you look at the group as a whole about the Bina expansion, more than the creeping capacity we're talking about, and Numaligarh, thinking about the expansion. So how are we placed in terms of, where should we be looking at capacity expansion, let's say, over next 2 to 3 years from now? And are these projects already in the boardroom or they have moved, ahead of the boardroom and probably more at advanced stage now?
No, Rakesh, the point here is that Kochi is done. And Bina is currently focused only on the creeping expansion, which will take it from 6 to 7.8 million ton. As far as Numaligarh that you spoke about, yes, some preliminary studies have been done. But that project, as we have said in the earlier calls also, will involve a significant capital outlay for various reasons, including, need to bring in crude, the difficult terrain. So that's an issue which will have to be addressed keeping it with the involvement of stakeholders like the government. So that's something which will evolve. As far as Bina is concerned, beyond 7.8 at this point in time, we are not doing any action. So currently, apart from Kochi, it's only the creeping expansion in Bina which is, progressing. Others are at, at a conceptual stage and nothing beyond that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. This is really helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Our next question is from the line of Mayur Patel from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Sir, just need one information. This dynamic pricing, I remember the automation in the outlets and dynamic pricing initiatives, these two initiatives are going on together.
Yeah.
So currently what proportion of the total outlets are, automated and the dynamic pricing is also happening?
No, the automation is something which we, as I said, our ultimate objective is to do automation at all the, outlets that we have currently, just under 14,000 outlets. So ultimate objective is that, but we are also going on the principle of addressing the large volume outlets first. So in that sense, today we should be around 60-65% of the outlets, covering about 75% plus of the volume, which are automated. The others are in the pipeline. That will happen over the current year and maybe in the next year. So that is something which is as regards automation. Dynamic pricing, as I said, that's something which is going on. Obviously, automation does help, but it's not that automation is a sort of prerequisite for dynamic pricing. It will definitely help, and once we are all the outlets are automated, then it's definitely a help for not only dynamic pricing, even for daily pricing. So dynamic pricing as a concept is going on not necessarily only in automated outlets, but even in the other outlets also.
So what? So how many outlets this dynamic pricing is going on? Is it possible to share?
I just said it's about, it keeps changing, so maybe about 50% of the outlets, they must have tried this dynamic pricing, but whether it continues on an ongoing basis, it's something which will be known at the field level only.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Datta from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, hello.
So I just wanted to know, this GST impact, what kind of time frame are you looking for, before the government decides to resolve the issue, or will you go ahead with the imposition of some kind of surcharge? Have you got any thoughts on that, sir?
As I said, no, GST is something which we expect the rollout to happen on the 1st of next month, 1st of July. So, yeah, we have been, it's not that now only we have raised the concern with the government. We were talking to the government even earlier also when the, initially it was said that the five products like crude, natural gas and MS, HSD and ATF will be outside. So those conversations are still on. Yesterday also in the presentations, these issues would have been highlighted. But whether the government, how they will address and all that, we do not know. And we would wait for the response, whether the government does anything or we start off with GST as we are at this point in time. As regards any how to recover the standard cost and all that we will need to look at it internally before we take any decision. At this point in time, we have not taken any such decision as to what we will do in case of such standard cost.
Okay, so there is no definite timeline or anything?
No, we'll see how the situation evolves. I mean, we are in constant dialogue with the government and we are hopeful that some solution would emerge. Then we will see how to take it from there.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Dayanand Mittal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I would like to thank BPCL management team for taking the time out and sharing useful insights. I'd like to thank everyone for joining in the call. Yeah, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of SBI Cap Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.